So I just want to tell you a little bit of history about ACCA, Adams County Christian Academy. We always call it ACCA. And it's grounded in the love of Christ. Adams County Christian Academy provides discipleship opportunities and academics for students to lead and impact their world for Jesus Christ. That's their mission. Now, it was established in 1984, which is our 40th anniversary, and it started in a home. In 1987, they purchased the property that was on where the school is today. And throughout the years, there have been numerous building projects to have the campus that we have today. Many projects were made possible through donation time, land, and money throughout the years. It is seeped in history. There have been good years, and there have been bad years, but the school has kept their eyes on Jesus, and God has blessed us. Your prayers have been so important to us as you prayed for ACCA that they would open this year. So thank you, congregation, for doing that. Your prayers are amazing. It's a great year so far. And we have people that at ACCA that are committed to seeing ACCA flourish and to grow tremendously. I want to end with Romans 15:4 that states, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And that so describes ACCA and the people that are there, that we have hope that it's going to continue and it's going to just get greater and better. Now, I have a couple testimonies for people. I have two students that go, high school students that go to ACCA now, and they are Hannah and Carly, and they're going to come up and tell about ACCA. Then I have a former student, Waverly, who is also on the board and the PTO and very active in the school, so she's going to talk. And then I have ACCA's board president, Tom Ellicott. He's going to talk about that and then give us a little talk about I don't know what. I called it a sermonette, and he said no. So I'm going to start with you girls. I'm going to move this. And do you have notes, or do you know what you're doing? Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm Hannah. I've been going to ACCA since I was 3 years old. I'm in 10th grade now. I've been there for 12 years. It's a really nice school. There's a lot of opportunities. We have a basketball team, and it's like one big family because a lot of the people have been there for a long time, and it's a good way to connect with younger kids. We have prayer buddies where we connect with the younger kids and get with them and pray with them and just have fun with them and work with them, and it's a lot of fun. We also have student council. I'm treasurer. Carly is secretary. And that's fun, too. We plan school events. This next week, we're about to go on a school retreat up in the Bongiorno Conference Center, and we're going to stay there for one night, and it's a lot of fun, and it's just a great opportunity to like get to know more people, and it's a lot of fun to be at the school.
Hi, I'm Carly, and I've been going to ACCA since preschool, and I'm now in 10th grade. One of the things I really like to do in our school is prayer buddies, like Hannah said. We get to spend time with the little kids and build a great relationship with them. And then we also have Junior Rams, which is after our basketball season. We have basketball for the little kids, which me and Hannah both help coach. And it's just us being able to show love to them and help them, and hopefully they will play on our older team then. I'm also, like she said, our student council secretary, where we get to plan things for our older kids and little kids and things for us to do together. And the last week we just had our spirit week, which it was great to see all the kids get together and do all of it and do our school colors and all of that. ACCA is like one big family, and the teachers, they're close to you, and they'll help you through anything, and they pray for you when they need you. And if you ever just need someone to talk to, the teachers are there. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Waverly Keller, and as Roxy mentioned, I am on the ACCA board. I'm also part of the PTO, but most importantly, I am an ACCA mom. That was my baby, Carly. I also have a daughter that's a freshman at Penn State, and my son, Ben, is in the back. He's a junior, and we just keep getting taller. He's 6'4", so all my kids tower over me, and I'm very proud of them. And Hannah is like my second daughter. She spends a lot of time at my house. Roxy asked me to reflect a little bit on being a student, which was a while ago for me. As she mentioned, ACCA started in 1984 in my parents' home, Bob and Shirley Wagner, and I was the very first kindergartner. I know I look much younger than 45, but I am 45 and I own that. I also graduated from ACCA in 97. And thinking back and reflecting on my time at the school, if any of you, I'm sure some of you here were in the school and in the 80s, and we did a lot of memorization. Oh my goodness, we memorized. And the very first thing that I remember memorizing as a student was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And another thing that we memorized was multiplication tables. And I can remember missing recess over those troublesome 9x tables. I finally got it. I can do my 9x tables now, but it was a struggle. And something else that we learned, this was way back in fourth grade, so I'm going to read it for you, is a poem. We memorized a lot of poetry in school, and this is one that I memorized in fourth grade, and it was called The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as far as the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I marked the first for another day, yet knowing how ways lead on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. The two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. When I was in fourth grade, that's when I accepted Jesus into my heart. And that's when I took that road that was less traveled by. And I'll never look back, and I'll never be sorry. When I think back on ACCA and reflect on ACCA, the memorization, the second thing that I think about is something my dad always said to me. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Something that was impacted to me during my elementary years, my middle school years at ACCA, my high school years, was not just to be a leader, but to be a servant leader, to give back first and most importantly. And one of those people that impacted me with that the most, his name was Jeff Day, and some of you may know him. He was an Upper Adams boy. He graduated from Biglerville. He has recently passed away in the last several years. But he was our administrator at the school, and no matter what was going on there, he was a leader, but he plowed the snow in the parking lot. He went and did fundraising, and he never wanted to be noticed. He stood shoulder to shoulder with the parents. He stood shoulder to shoulder with the students, and he worked just as hard and as diligently. And I didn't realize how much it impacted me later on in life to be just want to be like him. It's not about leadership skills, but being willing to work side by side with someone and lead and work with them hard. One of the things that the teachers impacted on us was not just being a leader, again, but being a servant leader. And I'm proud to say, I know I'm one of the older alumni. A lot of the kids I used to push on the playground swing that graduated from ACCA. But I would say between 40 and 50% of our students are impacting. They're married, they have children, they're police officers, they're nurses, they're doctors, they're involved in politics. One of our alumni is a translator for Wycliffe. They're missionaries, they're leaders in their church, they're youth pastors, they're pastors themselves. And that is an amazing thing to see. And if they're not in the workforce being a volunteer or a leader, they volunteer in their churches and they're raising their children up to be Christians and to follow the Lord, which is amazing. Academics is something that is stressed, very important. And if you have a struggle, the teachers and staff, when I was there at the school as well, they were all amazing. They brought out your best God-given talent. You might not be the best at math, but they worked right beside with you with those 9x tables again, and they worked with you till you got it. And they wanted you to reach your full potential. I'm so grateful for that. And one thing that's unique about ACCA, my name's not on the wall, but if you walk back the hallway of our high school, each high school student that graduated from ACCA's handprint is on that wall. And so you can walk down through and kind of see the legacy. But the more unique piece of that is we have teachers, and I've watched them myself before, and they walk down that hall, and they put their hands over those handprints, and they pray. Not just while they're here, they're through 12th grade, but they pray continually for those students as they leave and become adults, that they'll do well and that they'll succeed. Not just for the students that are great and out there thriving and doing well, but I can tell a personal story of a student that went to ACCA and when she graduated high school, became a heroin addict. And she was a heroin addict for 10 years. And I got a phone call the one day, it was Christmas Day, and the phone call was, Mandy's sleeping in the bus station in the middle of Philadelphia. 10 years she fought, but I can tell you now that she's been clean for 2 years and free of heroin, and she's going to school to be a drug and alcohol counselor. God's story, not ours. He wasn't finished with her, and I can tell you that story because that young lady was my niece. So I say this to you. ACCA is a mission field. The greatest desire for the teachers and the staff there are to see every one of those students come to Christ and know Jesus in a personal relationship. And I've seen that. One of the boys in Ben's kindergarten class 10 years ago, the teacher came up to me one day and she said, guess what? Grant just asked Jesus into his heart. 2 years ago, we had a baptismal service at our church. And the pastor asked him to give testimony, and he was in ninth grade, and he said, I asked Jesus into my heart at Adams County Christian Academy. And that is the teacher's greatest joy, is to see those kids come to Christ. I can also talk about my oldest daughter. She's a freshman at Penn State. She went to ACCA till 10th grade, and then she transferred to Gettysburg High School, and she came home the one day, and she goes, Mom, they're calling me the Jesus girl at school. And she goes, that's okay with me. And she came home a couple weeks later, and she said, Mom, I was in my biology class, and my teacher came up to me, and he goes, I understand you're a Christian. And she said, yes. And he says, well, he says, I'm an atheist. And he goes, I'm going to prove you wrong. And she looked him in the eye, and not these exact words, and says, that's okay. My faith isn't based on evolution versus creation. My faith is based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And she stunned the man. He didn't know what to say after that. But I'm saying, in this day and age, it is not popular to be a strong Christian as a teen or a young adult. It's not popular to be good necessarily. Let's pray. I ask most importantly that you pray for our students, that you pray that they would have a strong faith and walk with Christ, that they would have holy boldness to stand up for what they believe in. Tom?
I got my own here.
You got your own? Okay.
Turn that off?
Yeah, we make the screen on the bottom. There's a switch.
Wow. Great word. Great word. Oh, Waverly. Holy Spirit's all over you. Can I raise this up? Ah, yes. There we go. Well, thank you. Thank you. My name is Tom Ellicott. I'm on the Acker board. I'm going to introduce myself later, but it kind of seems like I ought to tell you who I am anyway right now. But I want to read a little scripture for you out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 7. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. Let's keep that word. Be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Our Heavenly Father, be with us. Help us to know you. Help us to walk with you. Be real in our life. And I thank you that you're here with us this morning. In the name of Jesus. You know, I'm afraid our nation has walked away from the respect for the scriptures and the fear of God. The word of God is no longer openly accepted in the public schools, and many churches have even watered it down so as not to offend our modern culture. I was just reading an article a few days ago about Martin Luther, who on October 31st, in the year 1517, 507 years ago, changed history when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. And we've come to later realize that this was the birth of the Protestant Reformation and what's known as today as Western culture. Bibles were by the time he did that, they'd been in mass production for probably 50, 60 years. And people, average people, were starting to get access to them. And were able to read the scriptures for themselves. This was new. They were finding, as Martin Luther had found, that the church had become secularized and corrupt. And because the people were generally ignorant of the scripture, they were easily indoctrinated with lies. But all of that was soon to change. That was 500 years ago. And today, we are watching with our own eyes the fall of Western culture. And why is that? Really, for the same reason our systems, which were formerly Christian, have become corrupt, and the people generally do not know Scripture. Luther once said, "A simple layman armed with Scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it." And he also said, "I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not increasingly pursue the study of God's word becomes corrupt. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on young students, are wide gates to hell." My name is Tom Ellicott. That was my introduction. And I am on the ACCA board. I'm the chairman of the ACCA board. And I got involved with ACCA because of my granddaughter, Hannah. She's been going to that school since she was in preschool. And now she's 15. It was interesting for me to listen to these testimonies. the girls in Waverly's about the school this morning. I didn't really know what they were going to say. And one of the things that they said was that they like the small family atmosphere, the ability to know the teachers, teachers help you, that environment at the school. And I like that too. But ACCA has been really Hannah's social circle, and the church youth group. Those have been her social circle. And I love that. But what I also love about that school, and I doubt if these kids understand it yet, is that ACCA educates children with a Christian worldview. Let me give you an example. This goes back as asking my wife about this the other yesterday, because I couldn't quite remember what it was, but Hannah was just little. She was a little girl, fifth grade maybe, I don't know, fourth, I don't know. She was young. And something was on the news, and she was listening to it. Cindy was watching, I guess, and Hannah says, "Grandma, that guy sounds like an evolutionist." I thought that was funny. Anyway, then just this last Friday, just a couple days ago, it was Grandparents' Day at ACCA. And it was basically an open house where Grandpa and Grandma could come visit and sit in on a few of the classes to get a feel for what the kids are being taught. So I go to this, and I'm sitting in history class. And Mr. Ross, he's the teacher, the history teacher, and all the students and the grandparents are sitting in there in the room, and Mr. Ross presents this scenario to everyone. He says, "This is 1939 in Nazi Germany. There's a man of standing in the community. He's a business owner. He's a good man, respected by everyone. And one evening, there's a knock at his door. And it's a man, his wife, and his two children, Jews. You could see that they had the Star of David on their sleeves, which they were required to wear. And the man says to the business owner, 'Please, will you hide us?' After a long silence, the man says, 'Come.' And they go in the house, and the door shuts. Not long later, the man receives another knock on his door, and it's the Nazi SS going door to door looking for this Jewish family. They said, 'Have you seen the Jews?' The man says, 'No, no.' And because of his stature and his reputation, they believe him at his word, and they leave. So then Mr. Ross now asks the question to the class, 'Did this man sin by saying no? He was lying.' So he had the students raise their hand if they thought this man was sinning by saying no. And for those he did, he had them sit on one side of the class, and for those who didn't think he sinned, they had him set them with this to make to two teams. So then he asked the one side that thought that the man had sinned by lying. They said, why do you think that? Defend your position. And one of the boys raised his hand. He said, "Well, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Lying's a sin. He lied." Now that's a pretty strong argument, right? And so then Mr. Ross says to the other side, to the people that did not think the man was sinning, and he says, "So what do you? How about you? You just say it's not a sin. Please defend that. Defend that belief." And so a boy from the other side raised his hand and said, "Well, when Rahab hid the spies in Jericho, She lied, and the Bible doesn't condemn her for that. These are 15-year-old kids. I was impressed with that. And they were using the Bible as the foundation of their reasoning. To me, that's outstanding. And this is the kind of Christian worldview that I'm talking about, that Acca teaches these young people. Just like Deuteronomy 6. There are only a few minutes left in this class, and in this short, and it was an abbreviated class, and Mr. Ross said to the students, he says, well, we really don't have much time now, but he says, I'd like you to go back and sit with your grandparents and see what they have to say about this. So Hannah comes back and sits with me, and we talk about it, and I told her that I thought Perry's comment, that was the boy who spoke about Rahab, I told her that I thought Perry's comment was really insightful for a young boy to have that. And so then I says to her, think about this. In Deuteronomy 7, you know, we opened with scripture from Deuteronomy 6, but in Deuteronomy 7, let me just read a few verses here, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And this is God giving instruction to Israel when they go in to take the promised land. And he says, verse 2 through 4 here, he says, And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons. Do not take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. So here we are. Wait a minute. Now I want to, let's flip over to, this was just shortly before they went in to take the promised land. These were the orders of God, orders or marching orders for when you go in and take the land. Then flip with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, I'll read 8 through 14. And before the spies lay down for the night, see where they're at. They're with Rahab. They're in Jericho, and they're in with Rahab. And she's hiding them. So before the spies lay down at night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea in Egypt for you when you came over out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. Now listen to what she says here. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. She's basically confessing God. And now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So here you go. Israel hasn't even conquered their first city yet in the promised land, and these guys are making treaties. They're making deals with the enemy. But God does not condemn it. Not only does God not condemn it, but Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews 11 for her great faith. And she must have intermarried into the family, which God said not to do, because her name is mentioned in Matthew as being in the lineage of Christ. So it seems that neither Rahab's lie or the deal she made with the spies or the intermarrying with an Israelite was offensive to God. So then I says to Hannah, let me give you another one. You know that Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we know Jesus is the living word. He said in Matthew 5 that I do not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and we all know that they made their business about obedience to the law. The Pharisees and the teachers of the elect, they were all about obedience to the law. And right down to the letter, I'll add. Far be it from them to sin or break the law. They weren't going to do that. But in John 8, what time is it? Do I have time to read this? Okay. Turn with you to John chapter 8, 2 through 11. I'll read it to you, and then I'll... This is the very, very famous story. One of my favorites, as a matter of fact. John chapter 8, verse 2 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Rabbi, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it's commanded for us to stone such a woman. Now, what say you? Well, you know how this story goes. Let me read it on. They're using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger, and when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, and the older ones left first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and he asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one accused you? No, has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she says. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now go and leave your life of sin. So I'm going to repeat myself here a little bit. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law brought a woman into the courts, you know, just read it. Rabbi, this woman is caught in adultery. Law says she should be stoned. What say you? This was definitely not obedience to the law. Yet Jesus did not condemn her. But neither was he condoning it. Go and leave your life of sin. You know, love always is in the mix in God's kingdom work. In fact, love is the center of God's kingdom work. This kind of critical thinking with a biblical foundation is priceless, and I am so glad that Acca is there. That school is building tomorrow's leaders. You know, you can't, it takes growing in this. I go back to Deuteronomy 6 where it says sleep with it, wake up with it, walk with it, lie down, and it talks about this type of type of scriptural wisdom grows in us slowly over a lifetime. And in Acca is delivering this when these kids are this big. Some churches view Acca as a local mission. And they support us, the church I go to supports Acca monthly as a local mission. I like that. We have a table here somewhere with the pledge, and I think, Pastor, you're going to kind of sum it up, but it's nice if people want to personally pledge or give that, that's great. But I think the area churches in this region, this county, should support that school monthly with a mission support. We do $100 a month. But if you had 15 churches at $100, that would be a nice help. And just think of it. If all the local churches could do that, we could keep the tuition affordable for middle-class people. We could maintain the school. And we could pay our teachers a little bit better. And believe me, the teachers aren't there for the money. It's a calling for them. It's a calling for all of us. I want to thank you for letting us commandeer your house here for the morning. But I think that school is so important for this area. And that's what's kept... I know Waverly's gone to school there, and now she's a mother of children there, and it gets in your blood. And I have seen God's hand miraculously intervene to save us on different occasions. I think ACCA is a really good investment. Thank you for letting me come and talk to you.
Roxy, come back. Roxy mentioned I haven't come. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a Christian school. I just wouldn't be here. I started at 3 years old as well. So I wouldn't be here and stand in front of you right now without Christian school. So Tom just wanted me to let you know there is a table outside. These are following ways that there are things you can pick up there. There's a one-time donation. There's a love offering basket back there. There's self-addressed envelopes. There's monthly, yearly pledge cards. There's donation supplies. And then there's the giving spree, which is when?
Thursday.
Thursday's the giving spree. So I don't know if you ever did that, but all the area organizations, nonprofits, you can give to them. Okay, so act as a part of that. So please check the table out, talk to them, questions, give to them. Thank you, Roxy, for bringing them. Roxy and Jean, you want to close this? Thank you.